Rush, Gastineau, takes long down, and Joe, that's a carbon copy of what happened last week.
Gastineau came off the line like a bullet. Not a man touches him.
Mark Gastineau, the iconic former New York Jets defensive lineman and member of the famed New York Jets sack exchange, was a wildly popular football player in the 80s, thrilling crowds who followed the NFL player on and off the field in a lifestyle any rock star would have envied.
The 6'5", 275-pound defensive end is the most decorated defensive lineman in team history. Gastineau was selected to five straight Pro Bowls while becoming the first player in NFL history to lead the league in sacks two consecutive seasons. Mark Gastineau was given one of the greatest honors the Jets organization can bestow upon a former player, the Ring of Honor.
From Times Square Church in New York City, senior pastor Carter Conlon sits down with former New York Jets superstar Mark Gastineau for an exclusive interview. In a recent ESPN interview, Mark said, "I went down the wrong road as a player. I was making big money, but I found myself totally empty. I have a lot of past experiences that I can share with people that aren't the right things to do." But, Mark added, that was Mark Gastineau. Now, I'm just Mark, devoting my life to the church. And he does just that. Mark and his wife have been members of Times Square Church in New York City for over 15 years. Most Sundays you can see Mark singing in the choir, and he and his wife have established an outreach ministry for the people of the inner city. Here's Carter Conlon.
I have the exclusive privilege of interviewing Marcus Del Gastineau today, number 99 of the New York Jets, a wonderful, wonderful public figure for many, many years. He's a former American football player who was the leading defensive end for the New York Jets from 1979 to 1988. He's a five-time Pro Bowler. His 107.5 quarterback sacks in only his first 100 starts in the NFL made him one of the quickest and most feared pass rushers of his generation. Gastineau is ranked 8th greatest pass rusher in NFL history on NFL Network's top 10 pass rushers. He was born in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and moved to Springville, Arizona at the age of 7 when his parents Ernie and Lou bought a ranch. Mark broke his leg as a child during this time in such a horrific manner that he was told by doctors that he would never walk again. Mark overcame the injury and the odds, and Ernie built his son a rodeo ring, and Mark began entering a team roping events at the age of 12. Mark's other passion was collecting Indian artifacts in Arizona's White Mountains. At Round Valley High School, Gastineau needed urging from his father to play football. He showed promise, but not enough to attract attention from major colleges. He entered Eastern Arizona Junior College in 1975 and earned All-American honors in his first season. He transferred to Arizona State University and spent just one season playing defensive end there before finally settling upon East Central Oklahoma State University, now East Central University in Ada, Oklahoma. He had 27 quarterback sacks in his college career and earned outstanding defensive lineman honors for the North in the 1979 Senior Bowl. He became ECU's first ever draft pick when the New York Jets selected him in the second round of the 1979 NFL Draft. Gastineau was among the most talented and honored defensive linemen of his era. He made the Pro Bowl five straight seasons from 1981 to 85 and finished his 10-year career with 107.5 sacks, the Jets' all-time record. He was a first-team All-Pro in years 1981 to 85 and was consensus All-AFC in each of those years. Mark, it's great to have you here with me in the studio today.
Thank you, Pastor Carter. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful to know you. I've known Mark now for several years, and Mark has had an absolute transformation in his life since coming to personally know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, he sings today in the Times Square Church choir. It's great to see you up there every Sunday, Mark.
Thank you. I love that fifth row.
It is. Now, Mark, you were raised in a Christian home, were you not? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, Pastor Carter, my mom, she was saved, and my dad was doing his own thing. And the reason I can say that now is because he got saved not too long ago. So my mom was a Baptist. You know, when I hurt my leg, well, that's when I realized that, you know, she always went to church, the Baptist church, and she always, you know, would tell me, you know, that prayer is the most important thing that you can do and the most powerful thing. And I found out.
And you were told at a young age after you had this accident, your leg developed gangrene, and you were told that you would never walk again. What was your mother's response to that?
She's got a southern voice. Said, Marcus Dale, don't you dare listen to those doctors. She goes, they're not right. The church is praying for you, and if you believe, you'll be okay. You're going to be okay, she said. And I didn't listen to the doctors and went into prayer every single night in that bed. I can remember watching for her. And when you're 10 years old, you have a hole through your leg. I mean, it's something that, you know, and then the doctors are telling you this. I was waiting for her to come visit me every single day, and she did.
So you knew then at an early age that God answers prayer?
Yes. Yes, I did, without a question.
The concept of God, was it very real in your heart? Did you fully understand that Jesus had died for your sins and that he was wanting a living relationship with you? Was that clear in your thinking?
Well, you know, all the way up into the high school, you know, my mom and dad said that I was a perfect, because I didn't cause any problems, so I wasn't really worried that much about sin. It was just that I knew that he would be there for me when I needed him, and I didn't have a relationship like I have now, of course, but I didn't have that sinful, like knowing that he's a God that saves you and you can go to him and ask him to help you and ask him if you've done something wrong. You can ask him to forgive you if you've got a real sincere heart and you have the faith that you know that he's going to do it and not just use him as a little thing that you can go to, you know, a go-to guy.
So you went through your high school years. Did you play football in high school as well?
Yes, with my dad did. He could see something that I couldn't see, but the Lord gave it to me, and he kind of got off track. He thought that he was the one that was making it happen. But we know, and you know, and now I know really that it's all things, you know, work together for good, you know, according to his plans. Not my dad's.
Yeah, and of course, then you went into college after your high school, and from what I read in your biography, it was a college that really didn't produce any draft picks for the NFL, so that in the natural, it appeared that you'd have no chance of ever making the NFL through the school.
That's correct. I remember after leaving Arizona State and just a complete flop, I was like so miserable. There's 30,000 students. I was from a small town up in the northern part of Arizona. So the other thing is that I went to a junior college, you know, my first year.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I made All-American. My dad automatically said, okay, we're going to move from here and go to Arizona State. I didn't want to go because I had friends that I had met there. And so it was hard enough for me to get in and for them to take me. I had a half a scholarship, and then I was a dorm proctor. I, you know, watched the dorm and stuff. So then, you know, when we moved, my dad says, you got to move to Arizona. I moved to Arizona, but I was not ready at all. I was miserable. I was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I was smoking pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the worst time of my life.
Now, you're still playing football at this time, of course.
Still playing football, but only half of the season.
And doing well. Was it from there that the scouts finally saw you and
Oh no, it's later on. But Frank Cush is a very tough coach, and you know when you mess up, he would always belittle you, and he knows this, and it's not something that everybody doesn't know. But he hit me on the back of the legs with a stick, and I said, "That's it." I needed an excuse probably, and so I left and went up to my house, up to my mom and dad's house. And I thought that he would, like, you know, forgive me or whatever. And my dad says, you're going to go back, right? And I said, no, I'm not. Then I made my mind up. I wasn't going to go back. And he says, you're going to have to go tell him. He called me every name in the book. There's no name that he didn't call me. And he invented some. I mean, just totally. And my dad thought that I'd give in. And I said, there's no way I'm going to go. I'm not going to do it. And it was a blessing because I didn't know it at the time, but, you know, I thought my aspirations of playing in the NFL were gone. But we moved to Oklahoma, and my dad had started a development there. I looked at this small school and said, you know what, it's really nice. They treat me really nice, and there's Christian athletes there. And boy, what a nice school it was. What a wonderful time.
So you always had this inner awareness of God, even though we all know that your season in the NFL was rather colorful, but you never lost that inner sense of God, did you, through that whole time?
No, sir, I did not. I totally knew right from wrong. You know, at Arizona State, you know, just anybody who wants to go to school, I don't care if it's legal or not, pot is not the way to advance in football or anything else, your studies or whatever. Just put me in this complete downer, you know, mode. I didn't go to practice. I'd miss back and forth. But the coach did see potential in me because I was a little bit faster than the average big guy. But, boy, did they bury me. I mean, I'd stand up. And Rocky Motley was the nose guard. Anyway, he got hurt right when I got there. I said, wow, now we went into the Pac-10 and played UCLA. I was on my back every single time, Pastor Carter. I mean, I was just 10, 15 yards back. And an embarrassment. And I just like said, boy, this is not fun at all. I was scared to death.
What are some of the happy memories of when you played in the NFL?
Well, the Lord came through. I was drafted in the second round and at East Central. He blessed me because, you know, they said I would never walk. And I ran a 4.5 40.
Wow.
That's unheard of, and that's where the scouts would go and get another watch out of their car because they said there's no way in the world that this is right. My watch is broken. That part right there opted me to be able to go to the Senior Bowl. Then I made most valuable player at the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
And they said, where is this kid from? You know, they didn't have any idea where it from. You know, nobody knew about me. And in my room, at that next day after practice, I had probably 500 messages on my phone, and it was all agents wanting, you know, to fly me here, fly me there. I took every one of the trips, Pastor Carter. I got so tired. I couldn't imagine going on another trip. And so I just go trip to trip. I thought it was so great, you know, because I had no idea. All of a sudden, I'm maybe going to go in the 12th round, maybe the 13th or 14th. And then all of a sudden, shoot, my stock shot right up.
So what did it feel like when you stepped on the field the first time and you had number 99 on your back and you're playing for the New York Jets? What did that feel like to you?
I was scared. You know, I mean, I was afraid that I wasn't going to make the team because it took me, because of my technique and all of my ability, I had ability, but I didn't have any technique at all. Technique is something that comes after, you know, basically going through paying the price. And paying the price is having Marvin Powell, who was 300 pounds, just roll over you and just bury you in the ground, you know, for like, you know, a whole year. And like you just say, whoa, I've got to do something about this.
Yeah,
so you know what?
You're going to develop technique or you're going to die, right?
Amen. The only other thing is when coach says, if you don't get better, you're going to go. And so, you know, between Marvin Powell burying me and the coach saying, we're going to have to get rid of you, you know, because we spent a lot of money on you. And they do that in the NFL.
Well, that's negative incentive. That's how they keep people giving their all and then some, just by this constant threat of loss and being cut.
I wouldn't say that was positive.
Well, that's what they consider positive.
Oh, yeah, because it worked. I came in the next year. I remember that Lawrence Pillars was in front of me. And I remember that the day that he got traded to San Francisco, I remember thinking, I moved his family out from New York to San Francisco. I thought, that's so harsh, you know, just to come in and just move a family. It was something that you just did. I mean, you know, you got to get your job and whatever, and I wanted to play. And so, but then again, he went out and got a Super Bowl ring the next year, so I don't feel bad now.
Okay, so what I'm hearing in you, Mark, is that there is this inner war. You know, the Apostle Paul speaks about this inner war in every man, you know, that he knows he should be living and doing a certain thing, but he finds himself doing something else. That is the kind of the struggle of all humanity. You know, on the field, you had to be this tough guy, but knowing you, there's a conscience inside of you. There's a tenderness in you. There's a sense of, you know, just a sorrow even for having, just putting somebody else into a place of inconvenience. At what, you know, you succeeded in your career. You became All-American football player, the leading defensive end for the New York Jets. You had all these records. You hit the pinnacle of your career, Mark. And at the pinnacle of your career, something happened inside of you that one day you just said, I've had enough of this, and you walked away from it. And a lot of the sports world had a difficult time understanding that. So tell us, in your words, what was going on inside of you when you finally made that decision to just simply walk away?
I was tired of the game. It wasn't fun anymore. I mean, getting a sack wasn't like it used to be, because when I first came into the NFL and my first sack, now that's after going through Marvin Powell time, you know, for a year, mm-hmm. getting buried. And when I got my first sack in Houston, playing the Houston Oilers, I danced. I couldn't believe it. I jumped up and I was just dancing for joy.
Which became that famous sack dance.
Yeah, they thought I had it planned. Pastor Carter, I'm not that smart. Come on.
Well, I remember you told me one time that you were driving on one of the interstates here in New York City, and you were driving a Rolls Royce. You're making $65,000 a week or something in that vicinity. And something, just a thought came to you. There's got to be more to life than this. Do you think that came because you really knew there is more to life than this? You know, a lot of people don't know there's more to life, but you did know. You did know there was a God. You did know he heals. You did know. I'm thinking about the story you once told me of a young boy who was dying of cancer, and you went to see him and started a foundation, ended up building a wing onto the Mount Sinai Hospital through it. Those are the moments that really matter, aren't they?
Oh, yes, those are the moments that, and that came right after the Rolls Royce. You know, I didn't need a Rolls Royce, like a hole in the head. I mean, it was just like, it was ridiculous. I'm riding around in a Rolls Royce and thinking that I'm something and not. And I felt it, and I just said, there's got to be something more, because I was so lonely. And, you know, if people would be waving and stuff, and yeah, but I didn't know them. I didn't know who they were. I mean, it was just like, you know, I didn't have any kind of a relationship with anybody. I did not need a Rolls Royce. That's something I did not need, but I had to have it because everybody that had money had a Rolls Royce. And that's basically the way I went. You know, just like, okay, buy a Lamborghini. Then I'd see somebody with a black one. I had a red one. I'd want a black one. Then, you know, whatever car, Porsche, Cabriolet, whatever it was, I had. And I'd get tired of them in just a few months because I didn't have that inner peace.
Well, yeah, that's right. The human heart is never satisfied by all of the things that are achievable in this world, because you and I were made for a living relationship with God. We're created by God. We're created for God. And no matter how successful we might be, if he isn't at the center of who we are and what we're doing, then it becomes empty, doesn't it?
Amen. And I'm telling you that the money things in your life are never going to bring that peace, never. And the fame, you know, the fame, there's no way in the world, no way in the world it even comes close. Because when you have that inner peace, he's always with you. You can take him with wherever you go. He's never going to leave you. So he's right there with you. So what's better than that?
Oh, it's truly amazing. And what point in these days after leaving football did you finally just say in your heart, I need to get back to what really matters in life? When did that really happen? How did that happen?
I was down on my knees praying because I owed some taxes. And phone rang, and somebody had said that the taxes were paid. And to this day, I have no idea who it was. But I was praying. I was crying out because I didn't want to, you know, after the NFL, I didn't want to have any tax problems and stuff like that. So I was crying out. And my problems now are the Lord's problems. I let him take them and put them with him.
You really did achieve most of what everybody would hope to achieve in the sports world. But what kind of advice would you have now for high school players, college players, and maybe NFL players that might be listening to this broadcast?
Prayer is the most powerful thing in the world. It is the most powerful thing that anybody can have and do. And so when you cry out to Jesus, don't put it on yourself. Put it on Jesus. He's got huge shoulders, bigger than Marvin Powell's.
Folks, you're listening to Marcus Del Gastineau, former American football player and leading defensive end for the New York Jets, who's telling his story in his own words. I've known Mark now for probably about 15 years. I had the privilege of knowing him when he was coming back to God. I remember the time, Mark, that you and I walked around the block from 8th to 9th and from 51st to 52nd about four times. And I remember the question you kept asking me, why would God want me? You know, it's a phenomenal thing, and I just kept telling you that He wants you because He loves you. He wants you because He died for you. He wants you because you are the most important thing in the heart of God. It was hard for you to believe that after all you'd been through and all you'd done and all that people had to say, that God, maybe there were some people who had written you off, but God hadn't written you off. I tell people from time to time, you are one of the most changed men that I've known in my lifetime. You have so changed from those days to this day. It is truly amazing to see what God has done in your life. You are a man at rest. You're a man at peace. God has given you a clear mind. He has given you a heart for people. And it's been just such a pleasure to know you as a person. I'm talking to Mark Gastineau, former American football player from the New York Jets, who found Christ as his Lord and Savior and is a truly transformed man. A gentleman, a good man, a loved man here at Times Square Church. It is truly amazing to see the transformation that Christ can do in a life. And for those who are out there playing football, we want you to know that, you know, it doesn't mean that becoming a Christian, you can't play football. But it also doesn't mean that playing football, you can't be a Christian. You can stand for God. You can pray before and after games. And you shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that Christ is your Lord and Savior, because He is the strength of our life. And give your heart to what really lasts and what really is eternal. Give your life fully to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Mark, we're going to close this segment by just having you pray for those that are listening today. This is Mark Gastineau.
Lord God, we just thank you for today, and we give you all the credit, Lord. We can't take one bit of it, and no, we are not the ones that make it happen. You make it all happen. Lord, anybody that's confused about what happiness is and about what fame would bring or money would bring, Lord, we rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus, because we know the truth. The truth shall set you free, Lord. And we know that. And I'm talking to you, Lord. And I'm talking to people out there, Lord. I hope they listen. And I hope they understand that when you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, that you can ask Him and you can hold Him to His promises. That's a wonderful thing about Him. He's not like a human being. He's not like some person that's going to come up and tell you that He's going to do this and do that. No. He never will let you down. He will always be there, no matter what, and He never has anything bad to say. He's got open arms. He's a father to the fatherless, and He's just a person that just always is in love with you, and just be in love with Him and be in touch with Him always and never give up, because Jesus is there. Amen.
Amen. Folks, you've been listening to Marcus Del Gastineau, former number 99 from the New York Jets here in New York City. A wonderful, wonderful man of God. And this has been his story in his words. I hope it's been a blessing to your heart. Thank you for being with us today, and may God richly bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to an exclusive interview with former New York Jets defensive lineman Mark Gastineau, part of a series of audio specials presented by Carter Conlin, senior pastor of Times Square Church in New York City.